This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use your leadership voice to give a eulogy for a colleague in a workplace memorial setting. A step-by-step guide to speaking with strength when it matters most. In short, your leadership voice carries a specific kind of weight at a workplace memorial. The room is grieving, and people are watching you for steadiness as much as for words. Prepare a clear, structured script before you arrive. Not notes, not bullet points. Use specific memories, not general praise, to honour the person truthfully. Your composure is a gift to the room. Earn it through preparation, not willpower. Definition: leadership voice eulogy refers to the deliberate use of a leader's vocal presence, emotional composure, and communication authority to deliver a spoken tribute at a workplace memorial, honouring a colleague while steadying a grieving team through the weight of collective loss. I want to tell you about a moment I got this completely wrong. A colleague of mine died unexpectedly. 30 years at the same company, a man who had trained half the people in that building. I was asked to speak at the memorial. I thought I could handle it because I had spoken publicly hundreds of times. I stood up, had no proper script, and within two sentences I was talking in vague circles about what he meant to all of us without once saying anything specific about who he actually was. People were kind afterward, but I knew. I had failed him, and I had failed the room. Your leadership voice eulogy is one of the few moments where your communication skills are truly tested in full view, with no room for a follow-up conversation. This much I know for certain: the difference between a tribute that lands and one that drifts is not talent. It is preparation, structure, and the courage to be specific. Why speaking at a workplace memorial is different from any other leadership communication. Every other time you speak as a leader, you are asking the room to do something. Follow a plan, make a decision, stay motivated. At a memorial, the room does not need to act. It needs to feel held. That shift is harder than it sounds. Most leaders train themselves to be solution-focused, forward-moving, and emotionally restrained. A eulogy asks you to slow down, look backward, and allow grief to be present in the room without trying to resolve it. That runs against years of professional conditioning. There's also a second difficulty. You are likely grieving yourself. The person who died was your colleague, possibly your friend, possibly someone you managed for years. You have to find the composure to lead a room through an experience you are also inside of. That takes preparation, not performance. When you think carefully about how leaders foster a culture of team synergy, you recognize that the deepest test of the culture is how it holds together in loss. Before you write a single word, what needs to be in place? Do not sit down to write before you have done three things. First, give yourself a day after the news before you draft anything. Grief in the first hours is raw and unfiltered. What you write on day one will be either too emotional to deliver or too distant, because you're protecting yourself from the weight of it. Wait. Second, gather two or three specific memories from colleagues. Not general sentiments, not HR-approved phrases. Actual moments. The thing the person said during a difficult project. The way they welcomed new team members. The habit that made everyone laugh. You cannot manufacture specificity at the desk. You have to collect it from the people who were there. Third, confirm the practical details. How long do you have? Who else is speaking? Is this a formal service or a small internal gathering? Your tone and your structure depend on this. A 5-minute tribute at a company-wide memorial is a different piece of communication than a short tribute at a small team gathering. The role of communication in meeting success applies here too. Knowing your context is the first discipline of clear speaking. How to prepare and deliver a leadership voice eulogy. 6 steps. Step 1. Build a simple, 3-part structure. Write a skeleton before you write a single spoken sentence. Your structure is this: open with the person, move to what they gave, close with what remains. Open with the person by name, not by title. David was the first person in this building. Every morning lands harder than David was our senior account manager. The title tells people what he did. The detail tells people who he was. The middle section carries the weight. This is where you name one defining quality and anchor it with a specific story. Not two qualities. Not a list of achievements. One thing told truly. The close should look forward, not upward. Resist the urge to end with a phrase about the person watching over the team. Close instead with what his presence taught the people in that room and how they carry it. The question David always asked where a project stalled was, what do we know for certain? I think we will keep asking it. That is a close with real strength. Step 2. Write for the spoken voice, not the page. This is where most people go wrong before they even stand up. They write the way they would write an email or a report. Sentences too long, construction too formal, language too careful. When you read that aloud, it sounds like someone reading. Write short sentences. Read every sentence aloud as you draft it. If you have to breathe awkwardly in the middle, break the sentence. Use the word he or she more than you think you should. Repeat the person's name. In a spoken tribute, repetition of a name is not redundancy. It is rhythm and respect. A short example. Instead of, Sarah demonstrated throughout her career an exceptional commitment to the development and mentorship of junior colleagues. Right. Sarah never walked past a junior colleague who was struggling. She stopped. She asked. She came back the next day to check. Step 3. Mark your script for delivery. Print your script in a large font, at least 14 point. Then mark it with intention. Use a forward slash for a short pause. Use 2 slashes for a full breath. Underline any word you want to lean on. Draw a small circle where you plan to look up from the page and make eye contact with the room. This is not over preparation. This is what composure actually looks like in practice. Leaders who speak well at memorials do not trust their instincts on the day. They trust their preparation. This same principle of deliberate preparation applies whether you are thinking about how to handle conflict during meetings or standing at a lectern with a room full of grieving people. Knowing what you are about to say next is what keeps you steady. Step 4. Rehearse aloud, not in your head. Read it to yourself silently, and you will think you are ready. You are not. The emotional weight of words is invisible until you hear your own voice say them. Rehearse aloud, alone, at least 3 times. The first run will be rough. You will find the places where emotion rises unexpectedly. Good. Mark those in your script. Those are the places you plan a pause. The second run will be more controlled. The third run is where you find the pace. Pace is everything. Grief slows a room's breathing. Your pace should match that. Slower than a presentation. Slower than a meeting. When you think you're going slowly enough, slow down a little more. Step 5. Include one voice that is not yours. Ask one colleague to contribute a single sentence or a brief memory, with their permission to share it in the tribute. Then weave it indirectly, attributed. Michael told me this week that when he first joined the team, it was Rosser who took him for coffee on day 3 and told him what he actually needed to know. That was Rosser. This does 2 things. It widens the tribute beyond your own relationship with the person, and it signals to the room that you listened before you spoke, which is what genuine leadership communication looks like. How leaders can use a strong method to build synergy through every conversation makes the same point in a different context. The leader who gathers before they speak earns the room's trust. Step 6. Manage your composure on the day. You will feel the emotion rise. Plan for it. If your voice tightens, take a slow breath and look at a neutral point in the room, slightly above the heads of the audience. Not at individuals whose grief you can see. A fixed point is a composure anchor. The breath does the work. The eye contact can wait a moment. If you feel tears coming, let them show briefly. Then breathe, pause, and continue. A leader who weeps for 30 seconds and then steadies themselves gives the room something real. A leader who pushes too rigidly without any visible emotion can leave people feeling alone in their grief. The difference is control versus suppression. You want control. Keep your hand still or resting on the lectern. Movement draws the eye and breaks the room's concentration. Stillness communicates strength. When the memorial is remote, adjusting your delivery for a virtual setting. More teams are distributed now, and memorial services sometimes happen over video calls. The same steps apply, but your delivery needs deliberate adjustment. Look directly into the camera lens, not at the gallery view. For the people watching, your eyes on the lens feel like eye contact. Your eyes on their faces feel like you're looking away. Slow down even more than you would in person. The slight delay in digital transmission means your pauses will be shorter than they feel. What feels like a meaningful pause to you may land as a stumble for the listener. Test your audio before the call starts. Nothing breaks the moment faster than a leader whose tribute is delivered through a crackling microphone. Preparation is preparation, regardless of the format. The core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation offers useful grounding tools that work equally well when your audience is on a screen. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong and how to correct it? The mistake. Speaking in general terms rather than specific memories. Why it happens. Leaders default to safe, encompassing language to make sure nobody feels left out. What to do instead? Choose one specific story and tell it fully. Specificity does not exclude anyone. It invites everyone to recognize the person you are describing. The mistake. Improvising instead of preparing a script. Why it happens. The leader feels that reading from a paper seems cold or rehearsed. What to do instead? A prepared script is not a sign of distance. It is a sign of respect. No surgeon improvises. Prepare fully and then deliver it as naturally as you can. The mistake. Over-referencing professional titles and accomplishments. Why it happens. In a work context, we instinctively describe people by what they achieved. What to do instead? Lead with character, not credentials. One line on the role is enough. The rest belongs to who the person was. The mistake. Rushing through the tribute. Why it happens. Discomfort with silence and emotion pushes pace upward. What to do instead? Mark pauses in your script and honour them on the day. The pauses are not empty. They give the room time to feel what you have just said. The mistake. Failing to acknowledge the team's grief directly. Why it happens. Leaders are trained to project confidence and forward momentum, not to name what is hard. What to do instead? Say clearly, once, that the loss is real and felt. We are all carrying this differently, and that is as it should be. Then move into the tribute. One sentence of acknowledgement is all it takes. How to de-escalate arguments during meetings teaches the same principle. Naming what is in the room takes its power away. Thinking carefully about feedback and how your words land on others is always part of strong leadership communication. The principles in how to use the SBI method to give team members feedback that unifies instead of divides apply here too. Specificity, sincerity, and situational awareness are what make words matter. Your pre-delivery checklist. Use this before you arrive at the memorial. Go through each item in order. Number 1. Your script is printed, large font, and double-spaced. Number 2. Pauses, emphases, and eye contact points are marked on the page. Number 3. You have rehearsed aloud at least 3 times. Number 4. You know the length of your tribute to the minute. Number 5. You have one specific story at the centre of the speech. Number 6. You have one attributed contribution from a colleague. Number 7. Your close names what the person leaves behind, not where they have gone. Number 8. You know the practical details, who introduces you, where you stand, whether there is a microphone. Number 9. You have a glass of water within reach. Number 10. You have identified your composure anchor, the fixed point you will look at if emotion rises. The work you do before you stand up is the speech itself. Here is the truth of it. The strength you show at that lectern does not come from talent or experience. It comes from the work you did before you arrived. Every hour you put into preparing that script, gathering those memories, rehearsing those words aloud, is an hour of respect paid to the person you're about to honour. Your leadership voice is not separate from your human voice at a moment like this. It is the same voice, at its most clear, most careful, and most direct. That is what the room needs from you. And that is exactly what a well-prepared leadership voice eulogy makes possible. Frequently asked questions. What is a leadership voice eulogy? A leadership voice eulogy is a spoken tribute delivered by a leader at a workplace memorial, using the same clarity, composure, and authority they bring to professional communication. It balances personal warmth with the responsibility of representing a grieving team. How do you use your leadership voice when giving a eulogy for a colleague? Prepare a clear structure, gather specific memories from the team, write in spoken language, and rehearse aloud until the words feel natural. On the day, slow your pace, hold eye contact, and let pauses do their work. Your calm steadies everyone in the room. What should a workplace eulogy include? A strong workplace eulogy opens with a person by name, names one defining quality with a specific story, acknowledges the loss honestly, includes a contribution from a colleague, and closes with a forward-looking sentence. It should run between 3 and 5 minutes. How long should a eulogy for a colleague be? A workplace memorial eulogy works best at 3 to 5 minutes, which is roughly 400 to 600 words when spoken at a calm, deliberate pace. Long enough to feel meaningful, short enough to hold the room without exhausting a grieving audience. How do I stay composed when delivering a eulogy at work? Preparation is your best defense against losing composure. Rehearse aloud at least 3 times before the day. Mark pauses in your script. If emotion rises, breathe slowly, look at a fixed point, and let the pause sit. Feeling moved is human. Being prepared is leadership. What mistakes do leaders make when giving a eulogy? The most common mistakes are speaking too broadly, relying on improvisation, rushing through the speech, overusing professional titles, and failing to include a specific story. Each of these drains sincerity from the tribute and leaves the audience feeling the loss more sharply. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.